Patterns of Presence, Advent Day 22. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who's been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." A key component of the story of the wise men is the presence of a star. It was the star that grabbed the attention of these guys and incited their journey. From this small yet pretty important fact, we have come to hold the belief that these wise men were those who studied the sky. They were those who looked to understand the constellations and followed the order and movements of the planets and the routine of their orbits. They knew what the sky over their world looked like, the shapes that it held, the journey of the constellations, the stars and their courses above. This was rudimentary to them. It was simply the order of the universe. And for them, their perspective of greatness was seen by looking towards that which was beyond them. Their joy was found in knowing and studying that which was beyond their reach, looking towards the far distant, into the great beyond, and mapping out the rhythms and patterns that were ordinarily observed. So, when the order of the heavens was interrupted, it caught their attention. When the unexplained, unpredicted, and unrecognizable filled their vision, it captured their awe. God is the one who flung stars into space. He is the one who, the prophet Isaiah says, measures out the galaxies with the span of his hand. He brings out the stars from their houses and he gives them a place to stand, a space to occupy within the order of space. And night after night, season after season, they hold their space and occupy their place because this is how he created them to be. Their position is his direction. Their movement is his decision. For he choreographs their journey and orders their function. So when something new is perceived, when the order with its routine and rhythms, when the order shifts, and sitting within the landscape of the familiar appears something new, something different, something unusual, well, it's worthy of attention. Because the God who orchestrates the order of the starry sky and taps out the rhythm of their light, he plots this phenomenon. He arranges this display. This is his hand, this is his work, this is his doing. He is speaking, he is revealing, he is announcing. The heavens are declaring, they are declaring the glory of God. Mary, she got a Gabriel, coming to her directly, speaking to her personally, releasing within her the glory of God. The shepherds, they got an angelic host, filling their hillside with glory light, declaring to them the wonders of God in the flesh. The wise men, they got a star. And when you read it like this against the backdrop of the others, it does feel a bit like they've been shortchanged. But this couldn't be further from the truth, because the same themes are found here as they are for the other encounters. The list is there, just like the others. Something in the heavens speaks to them on earth. Something unusual, something peculiar, something otherworldly is taking place and seizing their attention. There are the familiar prophetic undertones and even overtones here. And something way beyond their reach is being made known to them. And heaven has dictated when this knowledge arrives. It finds them, puts itself in their line of vision, and decides the timing and the function of all. When we read the narrative of the Magi, we can even go further. We can apply preacher's license and see how the star was that which in the heavenlies was great, but yet appeared to them as small. And all the feels of the message of Jesus at Christmas are here. For he who is great lowered himself to take on flesh. He stepped into our world as a small, innocent baby. He who was great appeared small. We can draw the metaphorical headlines of this. we can draw the spiritual news about Jesus just from the simplicity of a star appearing on the horizon in the eastern sky. The truth, however, is that what they understood from this phenomenon was no different really from the rest of the main players in the Christmas story. Their take home was the same. They understood that Jesus was born and that the Messiah, the King of the Jews, was here, and their response to this knowledge was just like the rest, it was worship. These are the components that are found in Mary's encounter with Gabriel and in the shepherd's experience with the heavenly host. So when we put them alongside each other, we can see that God is speaking, he is revealing, he is announcing something great. And each time that he speaks to those that he chooses within the story of incarnation, he includes them, he brings them in, he sweeps them up in the story that he's been telling, and he brings them into the knowledge of what he's doing. And the wise men then are just like the others. But there is something a little bit different, because he turns up right in their line of vision and he speaks in a language that they understand. Think about it. He appears right where they're looking. These are the seekers of truth, the people who search out and investigate, the ones who explore to understand. They explore the charts of old, the templates of the night sky, the maps of the constellations and their movements. They measure theory with fact, and belief for them comes through confirmation. So when God uses not an angel nor a host of them, he chooses not glory light or grand announcements. He just inserts himself into their line of vision. He plots a star right in their line of vision, but not just any star. Because these guys knew the night sky like the back of their hand. They had looked and looked. They had explored and discovered. They checked and verified the courses of the stars. They knew the places that they stood. They knew their movements and their preordained rhythm. This was an out-of-place star. This light was a new light. This was not what should be there. They looked as they had always looked. They had seen as they had always seen. Yet in their regular and ordinary practice was something irregular and unknown. The otherworldly display that they perceive, the supernatural phenomenon, is inserted right into their line of vision. And it's God grabbing their attention by appearing in their lane. And as he speaks to them, he speaks to them in their language in a way that he knows that they would get and understand. And clearly they do get and understand, because no sooner had they seen the star than their bags were packed and they began their journey of homage to find the newborn King of the Jews. And we're like, you guys got all of that from a star? But you see, this is the language that they speak. This is what they get. This is their jam. This is their lingo. This is him speaking to them in a way that they would understand and in a way that they would hear. And so much of this speaks to Jesus and his incarnation. To rescue a fallen world, he came into our lane. He stepped into our world and put himself right in our line of vision. He came as a baby, grew up to be a man, and he lived and moved amongst us and as one of us. And as he seeks to reach that which is lost, as he seeks to communicate his message, he speaks in the language of the people. And I don't just mean the literal language. I mean, he steps into their customs and practices. He moved with their rhythms and structures, but yet he stuck out within it. He stuck out as one greater than the rest. He saw their need, their real need, their deep need. And he met it, and in doing so, he actually communicated to them. He grabbed their attention, and he communicated to their hearts, his heart, and they got it. They heard it loud and clear. And then they, like the wise men, began to journey with him in worship. We can see loads that speaks to Jesus here. Loads that calls out him and his ministry simply in the star and the journey of these seekers of truth. But we can also learn loads devotionally too. We quite like the stories of the otherworldly displays. We enjoy a good angelic encounter narrative, and glory streams and supernatural oceans of light, they sound absolutely captivating. But here's the thing, there are times when God does the suddenly supernatural stuff to grab our attention. And then there's times that he just inserts himself right in our line of vision. Times when he steps into our lane, journeys alongside us, or just puts himself right where we're looking. And often we think it's too basic, it's too obvious, it can't be him. But it is. Other times we think that we're not good enough or deep enough or spiritual enough for the glory streams and the angelic stuff. So we don't expect or believe that God can speak to us. But he does. Because it doesn't always have to be paranormal and sensational. Sometimes it is just normal and ordinary. Because sometimes he just puts himself where he knows we will look. And when he speaks in a way that he knows we will get. For a bunch of astronomers, he spoke through a star and they got it, they heard it, they understood it because he spoke in their language. And he'll do the same for you. Doesn't always have to be prophetic metaphor and profound oracles. He speaks in ways that he knows you'll hear. So today, pause. Look for him. He's actually closer than you think. He's in your lane. He's right where you're looking, because he says, if you seek me, you'll find me. In other words, I'll be right in your line of vision. But today, don't just look, but listen also. He's speaking to you, and you can hear him, for he speaks your language. He speaks, he moves, he connects, he interacts in ways that he knows that you'll see, and he knows that you'll hear, and he knows that you'll get, and that you'll understand. So be like the Magi. See him and hear him in your today, and let what you perceive shape your journey to discover him and to worship him.
My heart, and I will wait.